And we're holding on page 66 in Sartre, third line, middle of Oisahin Gimel. We started learning yesterday about the Brachos of Klolos, about Anhar Grizim, Anhar Evel, and we had the explanation of Rabbi Huda of what the Pasuk means in Parashas Re'eh when it describes where Har Grizim and Har Evel are located, that those are the well-known Har Grizim and Har Evel, which flank the city of Shechem, where Rabbi Huda describes in his times and nowadays as well. The Kusim lived there, and back then it was a land of the Knanim, and it's by Eloine Moda, which is another name for Shem, which, as we said, we know that by Xer Shava, because in Parashas Lech Lecha, it says Eloine Moda, and there it clearly says, it says Eloine Moda, and there it clearly says Shem. So the Gemara, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Lozer Omer, Rabbi Lozer has a different explanation of the Pasuk. Now, in Rabbi Huda's explanation, in particular, we said that when the Pasuk says, Achrei Derech Mevoi HaShemesh, it meant, it's far from the road of Mevoi HaShemesh, which Rabbi Yehuda took Mevoi HaShemesh to mean the rising of the sun. So it's distant from the direction of the rising of the sun, namely it's not towards the east of Eretz Yisrael, it's further west, inland in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Mevoi HaShemesh usually means the sunset, but here Rabbi Yehuda has reasons to consider that it means the sunrise, and Achrei means far away, so Achrei Derech Mevoi HaShemesh would mean far away from the direction of the sunrise, therefore in the direction of sunset. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Rabbi Lozer learns differently. He learns, the pasuk goes as follows, Halayhema be'Evar Yarden, when it says, are those mountains not in Evar Yarden, that means Samoch le'Yarden, that means near the Yarden. So not further inland like Rabbi Huda says, but rather near the Yarden. The Ime Evar Yarden ve'Elech, if you're going to say it's much further inland than when they cross the Yarden, Halayksiv, the pasuk says, V'hoya ba'Avrachem es Yarden. It says, when you cross the Yarden, then you're supposed to go to Har Grizim and Har Evel, implying that on that very same day, they should be going there and setting up those stones and doing the whole ceremony with the Brachos of Klolos. So therefore, so he understands that it means it must be near the Yarden. And according to him, so the idea would be, in other words, that he holds that yes, there's a city of, he agrees that Elone Moda is Shechem, like we learned yesterday, but he holds it means it's a different Shechem. Besides for the well-known Shechem in the mountainous areas of Eretz Yisrael, he would learn that there's a different Shechem nearer the Yarden, and that's where this whole thing is supposed to take place. So then he continues, Achrei Derech Mevoi HaShemesh, when it says beyond, further than the road of Mevoi HaShemesh, so he takes Mevoi HaShemesh in the usual sense, to mean sunset. Mokam Shacham HaShekas. So it means the direction in which, so Mevoi HaShemesh would be west where the sun sets, so it means it's far away from there, which again means it's towards the east side of Eretz Yisrael. Then he continues, Be'eretz HaKnani, when the Pasuk says it's in the land of the Knani, it's not strictly speaking the land of the Knani, Eretz Chivihi. It's really the land of the Chivi. We find by Shechem, by the more well-known Shechem, that it was the land, we find that that Shechem and Chamer, that whole group over there are called, the Shechem is called Shechem ben Chamer, HaChivi Nisiha Aretz. So Rabbi Lozer says, don't be bothered by that. The fact is, the Chivi is one of the seven Knani nations, and therefore the Pasuk can call it the Eretz HaKnani, even though they have a more specific name, the Chivi. This is how Rashi learns. We'll talk soon that a bunch of other Mefarshim learn much differently. Anyway, then he continues. Now, when the Pasuk says, Hayoshev ba'arava, that they live in the Arava, which is the valley through which the Yarden flows, the problem is, it's not in the Arava, v'alai ben horim gvoris and yoshvin. The fact is, the Chivim live in the mountainous areas of Eretz Yisrael. The well-known Shechem is further inland, is in the mountainous areas of the Shomron. Mulha Gilgal, and when the Pasuk says opposite Gilgal, which suggests that there's some relationship with the city of Gilgal, the question is, V'aloi l'roes ha-Gilgal, but those mountains of Har Grizim and Har Evel are nowhere near the Gilgal. So what does the Pasuk mean by those landmarks if it's referring to Shechem inland? Then why is it mentioning these points? Then why is it mentioning this point about Hayosha Ba'arova and Mulha Gilgal? What does that have to do with anything? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov comes to explain the answer to Rabbi Lozer's questions. In other words, it actually says Rabbi Lozer is relying on Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's explanation of what the pasuk actually means. He says the pasuk is not telling you the location of Har Grizim and Har Evel. Rather, Loi Barakosiv Ela Laharis Lahen Derech B'Shnia Kederech Shehera Lahen Berishoina. The pasuk is coming to show them the road how they're going the second time around now when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael proper, the same as Hashem showed them the road the first time, meaning when they left Mitzrayim. When they left Mitzrayim, they had the Amud HaOnan leading the way, so now they're going to be coming into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem knows that that Amud HaOnan is going to disappear when Moshe passed away, as it is, it disappeared when Aaron passed away, and then came back in the schus of Moshe, so now Moshe is going to pass away on Zion Adar, and then a little over a month later, they're going to be entering, crossing the Yarden, and entering Eretz Yisrael, and they're not going to have the cloud anymore to lead them. So therefore, Hashem is giving them the Hashem is giving them the directions in advance. So he tells them derech when he uses the word acharei derech mevayah shemesh. That means but derech l'chu v'leisodes akramim. Go on the actual roads. Don't go through the fields and vineyards. Hayoshev, when the pasuk says that the Knani or the Chivi dwells, that means the Yishuv l'chuv l'edem in Boris. You have to go through the settled areas, not through the wilderness. And Ba'arav, with Midbar, strictly speaking, and doesn't always mean an actual desert like the Sahara Desert or something. It can just mean an open area where animals graze and whatnot. But in other words, it's not a settled area with towns and farms and fields and whatnot. So make sure that you go in the settled areas. You're not going to go through the actual, you're not going to cut through the actual fields and vineyards, but at least you should be in an area where there's those. In other words, it actually explains the idea is, instead of you're going to go along the banks of the Yarden and then you're going to end up in a mountainous area, rather what you do is you're going to go on the road that goes through from the Yarden that goes in some distance inland from the Yarden, and then you're going to go in through there and you're going to be in the center of Eretz Yisrael, and then you'll conquer there. Barava means Barava Lachu, means go through the valley. V'loy Bahorim Ugvoris, don't go through the mountainous areas which you're going to find if you keep on going along the Yarden. So in other words, Rabbi Lazar and Yaakov is teaching on behalf of Rabbi Lazar that the pasuk is telling you two different things. The actual location of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, yeah, that has to be fairly close to the Yarden. But the rest of the pasuk, the Eretz HaKanani, Yosha Barava, etc., is telling you the directions how you're going to go to get there. Now that's all according to Rashi. A lot of the other Mephoshim have difficulties with that. And they rather explain, especially based on the way the Yerushalmi explains Rabbi Lazar's opinion, that Rabbi Lazar is coming to completely slug up Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So there's no, like this, Rashi is learning that some of the things that he's saying are statements. For example, he's saying, Be'eretz HaKanani, he's saying, as a matter of fact, you should know, it's Eretz Chivi, but don't be bothered by that because the Chivim are a branch of the Kanani. A bunch of the Mephoshim explain rather that Rabbi Lazar is asking, not only how can you say that it means it has to be near the Yarden, because it says V'hoya Ba'avracham Asiyadin. How can you call it Eretz HaKanani when the actual city of Shechem is in Eretz HaChivi? And yes, the Chivim are a branch of the Kanani, but still, the pasuk should be more specific and say Be'eretz HaChivi. And how can you say Hayosha Ba'arava, and how can you say Mul HaGilgal when it has nothing to do with the Arava and nothing to do with Gilgal? So therefore, many of the Mephoshim understand, Tosfos brings, a lot of other Rishonim bring that, what Rabbi Lazar means, and what Rabbi Lazar means is that the ceremony of Har Gerizim and Har Eval is supposed to take place near the Yarden. They bring from the Yerushalmi that Rabbi Lazar holds, instead of, like this, there's the well-known mountains of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Instead, what they were supposed to do is take a bunch of dirt, make two big piles of dirt. Name one of those piles Har Gerizim and the other one Har Eval, and have the ceremony right there near the Yarden. So now it all fits very well with the pasuk. Halahema be'evar yarden. It's right as you cross the Yarden, because that's where you're going to put these two mounds of dirt. Achrei derech mevoy hashemesh. It's going to be far away from the way of the sunset, because it's going to be on the east side of Eretz Yisrael, as close as possible to the Yarden. The Eretz HaKanani, it's going to be in the land of the Kanani, because the Kananim are the Kananim as such, the ones who are narrowly called Kananim, live near the Yarden, like we find in the Meraglim's description, Va'Kanani Yoshev Alayom Va'Yada Yarden, they lived in the lowlands of Eretz Yisrael. I even once saw an explanation, the word Kanani may actually come, the word Kona, we know you have the word Kniya and other such words like that, means to be humble and subject, so maybe they were called that because they lived in the lowlands, like the lower areas of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe the word Kona is related to that. Well, like, no, yeah. Be that as it may, anyway, so then when the pasuk says Mul HaGilgal, yeah, it means opposite, means fairly close to Gilgal, because, yeah, the Gilgal is their first stop after they cross the Yarden. So then it would all work that way. Toithless, by the way, brings another possibility from the another possibility, another Manda Omar that says that actually the whole, like this, we're saying that the whole ceremony of how, so now what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? And according to that, Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov would agree with this, that it was the well known how Grizim and how Eval, you're bothered by the fact that it says Ba'ovrachem as a Yardin, as soon as you cross the Yardin, Bederach Nes, they were able to go the huge distance. The Gemara is going to spell this out later on. They were able to go Bederach Nes, the entire distance, 60 mil from the crossing of the Yardin to how Grizim and how Evil, and do the whole ceremony of the brachas and klolas and everything else that was involved, and return to Gilgal all on that same day. So in that case, that's another way of learning it. And then Tosfos, by the way, brings another Manda Omer, that it wasn't actually on the day that they crossed the Yarden, but rather it was only after the 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk. So according to that, by Yermesh HaTavaros HaYarden, means on the day you cross the Yarden, set up the monument with the 12 stones that you're going to take from the Yarden, as the Gemara is going to describe later on, but the actual Brachos HaKlolos ceremony, according to that, would be only many years later, after they finished conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. So those are the various opinions on the subject of what's the story with the ceremony of how Grizim and how Abel. So now, since we mentioned the crossing of the Yarden, let's talk about the details of what happened when they crossed the Yarden. By the way, Maharsha points out a couple of other things in this connection. First of all, Maharsha says when Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that the Torah wants to show them the road Bashnia, like it did Barishona. So Rashi had said Barishona means when they left Mitzrayim, and Bashnia means now when they're entering Eretz Yisrael. Maharsha says no, Barishona would mean when they started conquering parts of extended Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Sichon Voig. And there we see that Befedosh, they were to go on the roads and not through the fields and vineyards. They tell Sichon to begin with, we're going to go B'derech HaMelech, we're not going to go Lo'nita Yomene Smoil, etc. So therefore, so now Hashem is giving them the same instructions. So that's Barishona and Bashnia. Barishona when they fought against Sichon and Oig, and now Bashnia when they're going to go conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Ketzet Ovi Yisrael Seyarden. How did the Jewish people cross the Yarden? Well, let's start with this. B'chol Yom Oren Neseya Achas Shnei Degolim. Throughout all the time, when they were traveling in the Midbar, the Oren would follow the two camps. You would have the camp of Yehuda together with Yisachar and Zvulun, and of Reuven together with Shimon and Gad, and then would go the Oren and the other Klei HaKodesh, as it describes in Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Baloscha. You would have the structure of the Mishkan would go after the first Degel, after Yehuda, and the Kalim of the Mishkan would go after the second one after Reuven. And that way, as it actually describes, by the time they'd come to the next place, they're going to camp, B'nai Gershon and B'nai Merari would have had time to set up the whole structure of the Mishkan while Reuven, Shimon, and God are traveling, and B'nai Kohos are traveling behind them, and they'd have, by that time, B'nai Gershon and Merari would set up the whole shell of the Mishkan, and now the B'nai Kohos can bring in the Kalim. So usually the Oren would go in the middle. By the way, you have Yaakov points out, Rashi brings in a couple of places, there's different opinions how they traveled in the Midbar, whether they kept the same square formation that they did when they camped, or whether they went in a straight line. Kaseder Machnoisam. So our Gemara would be according to the opinion that Kakoda, they were going single file, shave it by shave it, and therefore the Aron would be after two Degolim. Anyway, the Oisayim Nosatchila, this time when they were going to cross the Yarden, the Oren is going to go first. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hinei Aron Abris Adon Kol Oretz Over Lefnechem by Yarden. Yeshua describes the Oren of the covenant of the master of the whole earth. This is the name specially used of Hashem in connection with when the Jewish people are going to enter into Eretz Yisrael and conquer it, because Hashem is the master of the whole earth. Like you have the first Rashi on Chumash, that Hashem created the whole world and He gets to decide who lives in any given place and in any given time. So therefore, so particularly we use this title for Hashem in this context. So anyway, he says the Oren, Oiva Lefnechem Bayarden, is going to go ahead of you into the Yarden. So that's the first difference. Maharsha explains the symbolism of it is, as long as they're in Chutz La'aretz, which is a Talmudic land, then the Shechinah can only be among the Jewish people. So it's literally in the middle, with two Degolim before it and two Degolim behind it. But now, when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKadosh, then the Shechinah can go first. showing that Hashem is especially the God of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem rules the whole world, of course, but Hashem has a special connection with Eretz Yisrael more than any other place, and in token of that, then the Oren can go first. So that's the first difference. Second difference, b'chol yom levim noisim es ha'oren, every other time until then, the levim would be carrying the oren, as we find in Parshas Bamidbar, where B'nai Kohos, and in this week's parasha, where B'nai Kohos are going to be carrying the oren and the other kelim. V'oisayim ha'koyim in Mis'ohu. Now, when they're crossing the Yarden, the Kohenim are the ones who are carrying it. Shenema, as Yeshua continues, V'hoyach k'noyach kape, k'noyach kape, s'vagliach Kohenim, noisei aroin Hashem adon kol ha'aretz v'gemer. When the feet of the Kohenim who are carrying the Oren of Hashem, the master of the whole world, are going to touch the Yarden, then the waters of the Yarden are going to split. So this time the Kohenim are carrying it. So that's also the idea, as Marshall says, that usually you have the Levim carrying it, but now you have, especially now that we're coming into Eretz Yisrael, the place of Kedusha, then therefore it's more appropriate that the Kohenim, who are designated specially from among Shevet Levi, should be the ones to carry it. So, Tanya, we learn Rebbeleise, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, B'gimel Mekoymes Noser HaKoyinim Es HaOren. We find three times in history where the Koyinim carried the Oren. K'over Es HaYarden, here's the first one, when they crossed the Yarden, over Shosh HaSabav Es Yerichoy, and then shortly after that, when they're doing the 7 days of circuits around Yerichoy, and so on the seventh day, then the walls sank into the ground. So there also the Pesukim described that the Koyinim are carrying it. And the third one is when they returned it to its place. Rashi explains that means when they brought it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the times of Shlomo HaMelech after they built the first Beis HaMikdash. So why is it called? It had never been in there before, but this is the first time in many years that it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It had been in the Mishkan that Moshe made. Then it was in Mishkan Shiloh. Then Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and for the next 57 years after that, there was no permanent place for the Oren. First it was captured by the Plishtim, then it was in Kiryas Yorim for 20 years, then David tried to bring it to Yerushalayim the first time, and you have the whole story with Uzzah, and then he brought it again and set up a tent for it in Yerushalayim, and it remained there until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So now when it's being brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the first time in over 50 years that it's in a Kodesh HaKadoshim again. So therefore, that can be called Hechziruhu L'mkoyinim. And the pasuk again describes that it's the Koyanim who brought it in. That's according to Rashi. Gilyan Ashash, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers to a Radak on the Pesukim that has a different explanation, Hechziruhulim, and a couple of them are Foshim over here also bring that, Hechziruhulim Koimoi, rather means a few years earlier than that. During the time when David was running away from Avshalom, the Pesuk describes how the Koyanim, Tzadok and Avyasser, brought the Oren out of its tent in Yerushalayim, figuring if David is going into Golos, the Oren should go with him, and David tells them, no, don't have the Oren wander all over the place with me. I don't know where I'm ending up. Bring it back to Yerushalayim. And the Pesuk describes that Tzadok and Avyasser brought it back. So then according to the Radak, that's the third thing. The Shoshech Zerulim Kramer, when they return it to its place in the tent in Yerushalayim. Anaf Yosef discusses over here that the reason why we might say that is maybe in that case, the one bringing it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim doesn't count because you have no choice. It's being brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have to have Kohenim bring it in if there are Kohenim available. Mashenkin over here, it shouldn't have been necessary specifically that it was Kohenim, and therefore the fact that it was Kohenim rather than Levim is something special that's worth highlighting. There's Machlal, there's Shittis on the question, we have in this week's parasha, we have the mitzvah smasa oren b'kosif, the mitzvah that the oren always has to be carried on the shoulders, b'kosif yiso, it says in our parasha, and then later on the Gemara is going to point out that David forgot that halacha by mistake, and at first had the oren brought on a wagon, and that caused the whole tragedy with Uzzah, so does that mean that the ledotus, it's always generally supposed to be that the levim are carrying it, and only these three occasions, was it the kohenim, or does it mean that once they entered Eretz Yisrael, then from then on, whenever the Oren is going to be carried, it's going to be carried by Kohenim. Various Rishonim and Acharonim discuss that point. Continues the Gemara. Continues the Braisa. The Kibin Shinikbulu Raga Kohenim Amayim, as soon as the feet of the Kohenim who are carrying the Oren dipped into the water, Chosra Amayim Lacharim, then the water right away turned backward. Now, the verdict is that by Kriyas Yamsuf, You have the Yam Suf is a sea. It doesn't have a current to it. So therefore, the water had to be split and piled up. Nitzvah Kumonaid knows them. Here we're talking about here it's a river. It has a current. So Rashi describes what you have is basically that you need that the water gets stopped at a certain point and it starts piling up, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here, or backing up, as the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Meanwhile, the water downstream continues flowing as it will because of the current, and therefore you have a big open dry area for the Jewish people to cross. So Chozer Amayim L'Achareihem. So at this point, the water flowed backwards instead of so that's what Rashi describes. It stayed standing over there, and then as more water was coming downstream from the Kinneret, although through the Yarden, then it's as if it piles up more and more. And meanwhile, the other water that was downstream of that point flowed away, and therefore you have the open space over there. Shidichtiv, as the pasuk says, Uchvoi noseh oren ad yarden. When the kohenim who are carrying the oren came to the yarden, v'ragli kohenim noseh oren nitpalu b'kseh amoyim. The feet of the kohenim who are carrying the oren were dipped into the water. Uchtiv. Then the pasuk continues, v'yamdu hamayim ayodim elamayla komu neidecha v'gemer. The water that was coming from upstream became one big pile. V'gemer. So, v'kamah roichbon or goivhan shamayim. So, what was roichbon would mean the width. Goivhan means the height. Rashi prefers the girsa goivhan. So, we're talking about the height. In other words, to what height did the water pile up as the water was coming downstream, flowing from the Yarden? How high did it pile up before then the kohenim got out of the Yarden and the water came down and continued flowing normally? So, how high did it pile up in between? That's the point of Rashi. Yud Beis Mil connected Machne Yisrael. So it would be 12 mil by 12 mil, which is the size of the Machne of the Jewish people. Now here also, if according to Rashi's Gilsa that we're talking Kama Govan, then it would only be 12 mil. So you don't have Al Yud Beis Mil, because that would suggest a square area, and according to Rashi, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the height of the column of water reached 12 mil. Marsha has a long explanation over here that says that no, actually, first of all, why are we calling that? Chozer Amayim L'Achareihem. Why is that? Why is the Gemara calling that? That the water flowed backwards. It's not flowing backwards. It's just piling up as though there was a dam placed in the water over there and the water was piling up against it. And you have several other questions that Marsha asks on Rashi. So Marsha prefers the girsa that was before Rashi changed it with the kamad ruichban shomayim. What's the width of the water? So in other words, how wide was this area where the water stopped and where the water actually flowed backwards to create this open area where they can cross? And the answer would be that it was 12 by 12 mil so that the Machne Yisrael can go through there. Tosfos actually further on in the Sugya discusses that you would have to say, I mean, the whole width of the bed of the Yarden, the Gemara tells us in a number of places, is 50 amos. So, and as we're going to see, as we're going to go on and see, the whole Jewish people were in the Yarden waiting before they finished crossing, and Yeshua gave them a speech about what you have to accomplish when you go into Eretz Yisrael. So of necessity, then Tosfos says they can't be keeping the same formation, 12 by 12 mil, of the regular Machne Yisrael, otherwise there wouldn't be room for all of them within the Yarden. You have to say, therefore, that they were, when we say 12 by 12 mil, then it would be in an area 12 by 12 mil, but here they're actually standing in a different configuration. They're standing in rows of making up the depth of the rows from the front to the back. There's only 50 amos, and then the length of it would have to be a lot more than 12 mil. Anyway, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that it was 12 mil, 12 mil height, according to Rashi, 12 mil width, meaning 12 mil of water flowing backwards, according to Marsha. But Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon says, how could you learn that way? Lidvarecha, according to your logic. He odem kal, a mayim kalim. What moves faster, people or water? Mayim kalim. Water certainly flows faster than people do. Imken boi mayim eshot finosan. Then the result would be, if it only reached a height of 12 mil, then the result is, as soon as it reached that height, it starts coming down again. Well, then the Jewish people wouldn't have enough time to cross the Yarden before the water starts coming and crashing down on them again. Tosfos actually points out, even a point out of Yehuda, we would have to say it's a little more than 12 mil, because, yeah, you do have to account for the 50 amos itself of crossing the Yarden, plus you have to account for the time that it took for Yehoshua to give the speech, and so forth. Still, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yehuda would say, it wasn't an entire another mil, it was only 12, it was 12 and a half, or 12 and three quarters, or whatever, so he's rounding it down to 12. But still, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, that's, even that is not really enough time, because the fact is, water moves faster than people do. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, Malamatrei Mayim Nigdoshin. So what happened was the water was piling up, the oil in the Maila, and going higher and higher, Kippin Agabe Kippin, arches on top of arches. Rashi did Kippin, Rashi describes Ke'en Ulamos, like hallways in the printed Gemara. Rashi gives a French translation for it, which is arches or vaults. So in other words, the idea is, like you have, as if the waves coming down the yard, and each one freezes in place, and then you have one wave, one arch on top of another, and you have a pile like that, one on top of the other. Yosem is Shlosh Meis Milin, and ended up making a pile of water over 300 mil tall. Tosfos points out, by the way, the clouds are not even that high. So it means, yes, it was well beyond the clouds even. That column of water, according to the laws of Shimon, was far higher even than the clouds. Until all of the kings of east and west, all the kings throughout the whole known world, could see this column of water and realize that the Eibishter is making a nest for the Jewish people. So therefore, the Elazar Reb Shimon says that answers the question. Yes, water moves faster than people, but if it rose to a height of 300 amos, it's going to take a fair amount of time for that water to descend. Meanwhile, everybody will have plenty of time to cross safely. Shenema, what?
We have this meeting. That's 300 amos, 300.
Not 300 amos. Did I say 300 amos? I meant 300 mil. Yeah. Yeah. Shenema, I was the pause, yeah, I don't know, outer space, 300 mil, a mil is around two-thirds of a mile, so you're talking about 200 miles, no, it's nowhere near outer space. 200 miles, you're talking,
you're
saying a parsa, a mil is about, yeah, 300 mil, and a mil is about two-thirds of a mile. So you're talking about 200 miles. It's a pretty large thing, but it's nowhere near, satellites nowadays go higher than that. Yeah. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vayihi Chishmoya Kol Malchei HaMoedi V'Gomer, as the Pasuk says, when all the kings of the Amodi throughout Eretz Yisrael had heard what happened, and they were terrified of the Jewish people. So why? Because they actually saw that it was so high, even higher than the clouds, that everybody could see it, and therefore they're all terrified. Now, Matzmar Shor explains, if it was just that they heard, that wouldn't be reason so much to terrify them, you know, to be exaggerated or whatever. The point would be that they actually saw it, and then when they were explained verbally, what was this? This was Hashem doing a nest for the Jewish people as they were coming into Israel, then all of them were terrified, and then they had no courage to fight anymore. Which at that point, by the way, then the Pasuk tells us, that's Perakei, Pasuk Aleph of Yeshua. Then right after that, when Hashem tells Yeshua to make the massive bris milah for the people and then to celebrate Pesach, it was an excellent opportunity for it. Everybody's terrified. Everybody's still very much under the impression of the splitting of the Yarden, and therefore they can be safe. They don't have to worry like the people of Shechem that they're going to be attacked within the 3 days after the milah. So the Gemara continues, Va'af Rochav Azoyna Omer L'Shulcha Yeshua. We find shortly before that, when Yeshua sent his two meraglim to Yericho, so Rochav Azoyna tells them, now this is before the Yarden is split, so she tells them about the impression that we Knanim, she says, that the impression that we still have from Kriyas Yamsuf 40 years ago. She says, Ki Shamayinu Es HaShahoyv HaShem Es Me Yamsuf Ugema. We have heard how Hashem dried up the waters of the Yam Suf. And she continues, Vanishma Vayimas Vavavenu, we heard and our hearts melted, and no spirit even arose in anybody anymore. So what's the point of the comparison? So Marsha says, same idea. By Kriyas Yam Suf, now they couldn't see it, because there you don't have the water rising to such tremendous heights. We do have Nitzvah Kamo Neid Nozlim, but it doesn't say anywhere that the water reached such tremendous heights, and it wouldn't have needed to, because again, there you don't have a current where water is constantly flowing downstream, but there is the famous thing that when by Kriyas Yam Suf, all the water everywhere in the world split. So they saw that wherever they were in Eretz Yisrael, and Rochav saying it made such an impression on us that everybody is terrified. So, on the other hand, the Rif explains that it might mean, actually, maybe it does mean that Kriyas Yamsuf as well. Maybe it does mean also that it made these tremendous heights of piles of water, and they also saw it all the way from Eretz Yisrael. They saw all the way from what's going on at the Yamsuf. Okay. So the Gemara asks, by the way, and this next piece is in parenthesis, because it doesn't really belong over here. It really belongs more in the parallel Gemara in Zvachim. And then in Zvachim, the Gemara expands a little bit more on the story of Rachav and the Meraglim. But here you have this piece in Ein Yaakov. They're not in the printed Gemara. Why is it that when the pasuk describes the effect on the Knanim after the splitting of the Yarden, it says there was no spirit in them? Or why does Rachav instead use the expression v'lekama, that no spirit stood up? Why that different expression? And the answer is Daphilakshriyalaikshu. She wants you to know, like, come on, nothing's even standing up, like the kind of thing which is her profession involves certain things being erect and standing up, and she's saying they don't even have that. They're so terrified they've lost the cheshik for that. You have the expression who makes Tachisha Zoyna Hoyaloch Me'anti Kolim. The Novi Yumiya describes, you have like he describes the Jewish people who are doing Averis, you have like the forehead of a Zoyna who refuses to be ashamed of what she's doing. So we see Rochav is that type of person, even she's talking to them, explaining to them how she recognizes the greatness of Hashem and so forth, but she uses like this expression that also hints at, and how her business is suffering because of this. There's an interesting piece from Rav Levick, that Rebbe's father, that talks about the deeper idea behind it, Alpi Kabbalah, that the Meitzach, the forehead, represents Bina, and at first she has Bina of Klippa, at first she's part of Bina of Klippa, the Meitzach Hichazona, and then she transforms herself into the forehead of Kedusha, the Mitzcha de Yehon Cholfin, like we say in by Shalashodis in Bnei Hechala. He learns actually that the day Yericha was captured was Shabbos. And Rav Levick learns that actually the time when they went in and rescued Rochav and her family, he learns, was Shabbos afternoon. Riva de Riven. He married Yeshua eventually. She became a diurist and married Yeshua, yeah. Okay. So that was the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. Continues the Braisa. Oidem by Yarden, while they were still in the Yarden. So then the following happened. Marsha, now, first of all, Rashi explains that the Pasuk says, it describes how the Kohenim who are carrying the Oren, they're standing there within the Yarden until Yeshua finished telling over the Jewish people everything that Hashem had commanded him. So what did Hashem command Yeshua to tell them at this point is now the Gemara is going to describe. Marsha says that it could be that this part of the Braise is only according to the Belozer of Shimon, maybe according to the Yehuda, as we said, maybe they didn't have time for that, because again, the water only reached a height of 12 or 12 point something mil, and therefore they don't have enough time for a speech over there before the water starts coming down. So maybe it's only according to the Belozer of Shimon, but still, Marsha says it could maybe work. It could maybe work according to the Yehuda as well. That it means that still there was still time for them to have the speech. So what was it? Amalahem Yeshua, du'u, you should know, shamanas kein atim ovim. It's on the following condition that you are crossing this dried riverbed to come into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be on condition that you dispossess and you kick out the inhabitants of the land from your presence. You don't allow any of the seven nations to remain in Eretz Yisrael. As the pasuk says, you should dispossess all of the people who live in the land from your presence. Which, by the way, Rashi mentioned as a pasuk from Parshas Masay. Rashi brings over there on the pasuk when it says over there ki atem ovrim asa yarden eretz Knan, then it means, in other words, now why does it have to mention they're crossing the Yarden? We know from many other pasukim they're going to be crossing the Yarden, means exactly that. When you're going to be crossing the Yarden, it's going to be al manas that v'hirashtem as Yoshua eretz mifneichem. So the two pasukim flow together. Uchtiv, and then the pasukim continue that the Hashem warns. And if you don't dispossess the inhabitants of the land before you, then Hashem is going to cause you trouble. And the pasuk says, as I had planned to do to them, instead I'm going to do to you. And you're going to end up suffering the same consequences that they were supposed to. Tosfos brings in this connection from Tosfos brings in this connection from the Yerushalmi. I think that at this point also the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Sanhedrin that before they came into Eretz Yisrael they weren't responsible for nistores. You have nistores for Hashem of the Kenuvan Niglos Lonu Levanenu Ad Olam. While they were in the Midbar, they're only responsible for the Niglos. If a Yid does an Aveda publicly, then they're responsible to do a Riyah Jaharom Kirbecha, like you have the Makoshesh and the Makalel and other examples like that. Mashenkin. Once they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're responsible for the nistores as well. As we find that Ochon stole from the spoils of Yerichai, and everybody suffered because of it. When did they accept that responsibility? Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that was now when they're crossing the Yarden. This is also part of Yeshua's speech that they were going to accept on themselves responsibility for the nistores. It also brings, interestingly, that later on, the Chachamim in Yavne canceled that and said that now we're not responsible for Nistaris either. From now on, it's back to like it was before. We're only responsible for Niglois. The pastors, I guess, because by that time, the Jewish people are very scattered all over the world, and how can you hold responsible, let's say, a Yid, how can you hold responsible a Yid in America for what a Yid in Eretz Yisrael does that on Nistaris? You have no way of knowing, so, yeah. So Yeshua continues. Imatim oisim kain. So if you're ready to do that, to kick out and destroy the seven nations, mutav, then good. Ve'im lav, and if you refuse to accept that, boyin mayin v'shotfim oischem. Then the water will come and flood you and drown you. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ad hashmidei oischem. As we find later on, Yeshua gives a speech near the end of his life. He says that until he will destroy oischem. So there's different gersoys and different understandings. Is it that the question is, what's this word oischem? Or this gersoy oischem? It's a bit of an unusual word. It would usually be eschem. So either the braisa itself is using an unusual word, oischem or oischem, or Rashi says that that's the gersoy in the braisa, or a different explanation is that the Gemara is bringing that later on Yeshua gives a speech to the Jewish people warning that if you don't listen to Hashem, then oischem are going to be destroyed. Either way, oischem is a bit of an unusual word. So what do you mean by that? My oischem, oisiv eschem. It means me and you, because koisar even zalazet. And if you don't accept any stories, then I'm also going to end up suffering the consequences as well. So that's why either the Braise is saying that right there in the Yarden, Yeshua used the word oischem, and the Braise is quoting him, and it means oisiv oischem, or it means that towards the end of his life, Yeshua is giving them a speech and warning them that if you don't listen to Hashem, then both you and I are going to end up suffering for it.
He's the
Great Shmoni Israel, exactly. So whatever happened, yeah. Oidem by Yarden, then while they're still in the Yarden, Omalahem Yeshua, then Yeshua says, the Pasuk describes how Yeshua picks 12 representatives, one from each Shevet. Omalahem Yeshua, so Yeshua tells them, Harimu lachem ish even achas al shivmoi, each of you men pick up one stone on his shoulder, l'mispar shivte b'nei Yisrael, according to the number, and that will be to the number of the Shevatim of the Jewish people. And he continues, l'man tia zois ois v'kirvachem, this will be a sign among you, ki yishalun b'neichem mocha lemon moha avonim a'eva lachem b'gemer, your children and future generations are going to ask you what are these stones. Now you have the Gemara is going to bring further on based on the Psukim that this was a monument that was set up in the Yarden itself in the spot where the Kohenim had been standing. So there's also the stones on Har Grizim and Har Evel. So there's different opinions among the Mephoshim how many sets of stones we're talking about over here. Marshall explains that it's actually all one set. They brought those stones from the riverbed to Har Evel. They wrote the Torah on them. Then they set those and they took those. They took that apart and reset it up in Gilgal. And then in addition, there's another set that were placed in the Yarden where the Kohenim were standing. There were some Mephoshim who lived in Marshon, and some Mephoshim learned that way. Other Mephoshim explained that there were actually three sets of stones in the Yarden, in Gilgal, and on Har Evel. Anyway, so that means when he says that, so Yeshua continues that you'll tell them that the Jewish people crossed the Yarden over here and Hashem split the water for us, meaning Simon Labonim Shalvar Ovis at the Yarden. These stones, this monument over there in the Yarden, will be a simon for the children that their ancestors had crossed the Yarden. So this is another thing that's taking place while they're in the Yarden, is for these men to take these stones and set them up over there. Odom Bayarden, then further Walter still standing in the riverbed of the Yarden, Omalahem Yeshua. Then Yeshua tells 12 people, and again, whether it's the same 12 people or a different 12 people, is also a discussion among the Mephoshim. He tells them, Sumi Zemetech HaYarden Mimatzav Ragle HaKoyanim, take here from the Yarden, from where the Koyanim's feet are standing, Hochin, prepare 12 avonim, prepare 12 stones, you'll carry them across with you, and you're going to put them in the place where we stay tonight, which is in Gilgal. So this is Marsha explains that you have two sets of stones, one that are going to be left in the yard that is a monument right there, and the other one that are eventually going to be set up in Gilgal, and he learns that those are the same ones that are first brought to Har Evel and set up there, and the Torah is, and they're plastered, and the Torah written on them, etc., etc., and then they take it apart and bring it to Gilgal. It's an interesting idea, since Gilgal is the first place you reach when you cross the Yarden, then the idea is this is almost like symbolically, it's like a mezuzah for Eretz Yisrael. So, anyway, so Yochel b'chol molon u'molon. Now you would think when it says you should put them in the molon, maybe it means every single place where they come to spend the night, as long as they're conquering Eretz Yisrael, they have to take the stones with them. No, Talmud Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says b'molon asher tolunu bo haloila, in the place, in the lodging place where we're going to stay tonight. So once they set it up in Gilgal, then it stays there. So all of that was taking place while they were in the Yarden, and then, so now the Gemara is going to digress. Now the Gemara is going to digress once it mentions these stones. It's going to compare them to the cluster of grapes that the Meraglim carry, and it's going to talk at length about the Meraglim, and eventually we're going to get back to the story of crossing the Yarden and what happened after everybody finished crossing. Yeah. Yom Mashiach Gola, test 7. In Yemosa Mashiach, so like this, we have like this. Our learning Torah and our doing mitzvahs nowadays is avodas habirurim. We have toiv mixed with ra, and we have the job of sifting out the toiv from the ra and then bringing it into kedusha. Yemosa Mashiach, all that will be done. The ra will be completely separated from the toiv. So then, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, then at that point, our job with Torah and mitzvahs is not going to be to be mivara berurim, is going to be rather to make greater yichudim, to make greater connections between yichud kutcha brichu shkinte and all that, all of it through pnimius haTorah, which means to do the mitzvahs with kavanas oyonis, which are the pnimius and the hidden reasons for the mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs themselves will still be kept, at least in the first stage of Yemosa Mashiach, but the point of it will not be to be mivara berurim like now, but rather to make higher and higher yichudim. There was one time during the time when they were sending manned missions to the moon, where the Rebbe talked about a sikha, that you have the contrast between here on Earth, where you need action and reaction in order for something to be able to move, it's got to have something to push against. Mashiach in an outer space, you have nothing to push against. The rocket takes along with it its own oxidizer and basically pushes against itself. In order to move, and then ever analogize that to nowadays, we have a nefesh of Bahamas, we have a Yetzirah, we have a Shibud Malchus, and all that to push against, to motivate us. La'asid lover, instead it'll be we'll be self motivated to just keep on going higher and higher. Continuing with halachas of Yom Tov. So once you have meat for Yom Tov, you're allowed to salt it, kasher it, even if you could have done it yesterday. But again, only if you need it for Yom Tov itself. If you have a lot of meat and it might spoil, then you can salt it altogether, even not with Tzorech HaYoyim, because there is a little extra tircha involved, but it is basically one tircha. You can even do, the Alter Rebbe describes, based on the Gemara, you can do a haroma. You do, for example, I want to eat this piece today, and then you salt it, and then you say, nah, I want to eat a different piece, and so you're going to salt that, and you end up going like that. So once it's already salted or other things like that, then you have the usual rules about salting food on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you wouldn't be able to salt them. Or salt meat that was already kashered or fish that could have been salted on Erev Yom Tov, and the salt is going to improve them. Then it's similar to salting on Shabbos, and you can't do it on Yom Tov. Another din as far as preparing food on Yom Tov, when you're making baked goods like cookies or whatever on Yom Tov, you can't make pictures or designs on it or whatever. You can't do that on Yom Tov. And then you're putting, let's say, frosting on a cake or something. You can't do that either. You can't smooth out things. So that would include, for example, frosting, but it would also include, for example, melting candles to put them into a candle holder or whatever. If the candle holder is full of wax, then you can clean it out with something that's not muktzah.
Peanut butter on a piece of bread.
What?
I can't spread peanut butter.
Peanut butter, actually, that's true. So maybe I shouldn't say about frosting. That's true. Maybe actually now that you mention it, food is different. I'm not quite sure about that. He actually wasn't talking only about, for example, wax candles and things like that. You're right. Maybe food is something else. Yeah. I don't know.
Nefesh.
Yeah. All right.